When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's free this week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say free this week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccans. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is the top of the week as we record this Monday, March 7th. It's going to be coming to you on Monday, March 14th. We're not sure what will happen in the interim. Right in and let us know. Do you think we are at the time period that later historians will call the beginning of World War III? Or do you think we are still, as a society, in a continuous cycle of news that never stops and never sleeps? Or why not both? To quote the old internet meme, today's news is going to take us to an aspect of the Russian war in Ukraine that hasn't been reported as much and has a lot of conspiratorial threads to unravel. We are also going to encounter a grisly story in Denver toward the end of the show. Just so you know, it is grisly, but it is also fascinating. And if you, like us, are sometimes saying, hey, I want to hear about something a little different, you know, like I understand COVID is important. I understand that geopolitical tensions are on a massive rise, but I want to know what else is going on in the world. And I'd like to maybe hear some spooky stuff. Then maybe that's where we start today. We've got a spooky tale for you. And full disclosure, Matt, Noel, and I, we share just very high level notes with each other. So mainly so that we don't accidentally do the same stories.
Yep.
had you guys heard of this before you saw it in the notes?
I don't know about the Killing Stone, no, but it sounds like the name of a thriller, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about the Killing Stone. I didn't know about the recent development.
Oh, you knew about it in before this, huh, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. How are you familiar with it?
Just mythology stuff that basically you've gotten me into over the years, Ben. So congratulations.
Well done, sir.
Oh, boy. Well, let's see if it's still a congratulations moment. So then
Thank you, Matt. But here's the story. So in Japan, for a long, long time, there has been something called the, and we're not Japanese speakers, so please, please bear with our pronunciation, the Sessho Seki Stone. This, colloquially known as the Killing Stone, has a rich and strange mythology. According to the longstanding regional folklore in this area, in the volcanic mountains of Nasu, which is in Tochigi Prefecture in Japan, it's a place famous for sulfurous hot springs. Big, big deal in Japan. People love hot springs.
But, like, you don't want to hang out in a sulfurous hot spring, though, do you? Or do you?
It kind of depends on the amount of sulfur, I think.
Okay. Fair.
Capybara, love them, as you know. So this stone.
Wait, what? I'm sorry.
Capybara love hot springs.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. Oh, the YouTube videos.
I'm back with it.
Yeah, they're gonna save all of us after we do the episodes for this week. But so yes, the stone is believed to either contain a corpse, a transformed corpse, or it is believed to have once upon a time actually been a corpse. The corpse of someone named Tomomo no Mai, or Tomomo no Mei. Tomomo, according to the story, if you look at Tomomo, is like a real attractive lady, really smart, you know, got the personality, whole package, laughs at your jokes even when everyone, you know, knows they fell a little flat. Perfect person.
They also call a good friend.
Yeah, yes. Also a would-be assassin. The story goes that Tomomo no Mei, back in the 1100s, attempted to kill the emperor of the time, Emperor Toba, who ruled from 1107 to 1123. And this was a plot hatched by a feudal warlord, as Cate Blanchett says in Lord of the Rings, men above all else desire power. So it didn't work out. She got caught, and then she died, and apparently either was entombed within this stone or became this stone, depending on the stories you read. But she wasn't what she seemed to be. The legend was that the idea of being this beautiful woman was merely a cover story, and she was, in fact, an evil nine-tailed fox, her spirit locked away in a hunk of lava. Okay, that's great for tourism, right? You go to visit the sulfurous springs and you say, hey, there's that stone. And someone says, hey, can we touch it? And someone else says, oh, no, if you touch it, you die. It's a kind of a big attraction here.
Sort of like a reverse Blarney Stone kind of situation.
Similar. Yeah. And I'm not too much of a germaphobe, I think, to touch Blarney Stones. So I like the idea of one of the attractions being a thing that you're not supposed to touch. And I looked through and I couldn't find, just to be clear, to step out of folklore here, I couldn't find an example, at least a recent documented example of someone touching the stone and immediately dying.
It's meant to be instant death. It's not like, you know, a month passes and you wear a hat and it looks bad on you and then you die.
Right. And I like that you had a very specific part of horror there. So
credit where credit is due. That is a Mighty Boosh reference. That is a Noel Fielding joke. So not trying to steal that one. But yeah, nothing worse than wearing a hat that's not flattering.
And I did appreciate it. All right. So what you would see if you were familiar with this stone is pretty disturbing. As of March of 2022, guy came out on social media and noted that the stone had broken in half. This Ooh. Stone, yeah, this stone was a pot, like, you know, this is the kind of thing that catches on fire in the world of social media. I believe it was at Lily0727K in Japan, who originally posted the discovery of the stone having cracked in half. And this went viral. It took off. It's strange because first, again, there's not proof that anybody has in fact died as a result of this, of touching this thing. And again, to your point, it's immediate death. I guess you could argue on a technicality, yes, anyone who touches this stone dies because everyone at some point dies. But then that's like everything you touch is the killing thing. Oh my gosh, let me have some of my killing coffee. That's it for me, right?
Killingly delicious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, something's going to kill you, you know, whether it's just time or, you know, some sort of accursed object.
Maybe for now. So I went over to Snopes because the first thing that you need to do when you read about viral stories on social media is figure out if it's true, what part of it is true, et cetera, et cetera. And Snopes actually verified, yes, this story is true. There has been longstanding folklore and mythology about this stone. It has split in twain, and it's definitely, you know, there are definitely people who are speculating in the area with some degree of satire in some cases and with some degree of genuine superstition in other cases, that this could be an omen of some sort. This could be a sign that the that Tamamo may be on the hunt, freed from her supernatural prison. So I want to do two things really quickly, to one on the skeptic side and then one maybe a little bit to inspire a bit of hope for people who possess those supernatural concerns. Possess not being the best word to use in this conversation. So if you go to, if you take a page from the Japanese website, Yomiuri Shimbun, you will see that they spoke with the Nasu Town Tourist Information Center to get confirmation that the stone had indeed cracked. And the officials, to their credit, provided a pretty accurate, pretty objective description of what happened. They said, yes, the stone split in half, but there had been a crack in this stone for quite a while. And this is, you know, it's a mountainous area. It has rain. It has freezing temperatures. And when rain, like as soft and cool as rain can feel, rain is also capable of eroding things over time, right? There are no stones that can stand a river forever. And what they believe happened, which sounds completely reasonable, is that rain got into the crack, erosion was occurring. And of course, as we know, when water freezes, it expands. So every time the water got in the crack, it expanded a little bit more, driving this at times ghostly wedge into the stone. So you could say it was a jailbreak on the part of meteorological phenomenon. And maybe it's just a fun story people tell each other. But what if it's real? What if the evil nine-tailed fox spirit of Tamamo no Mae is out and is looking for anyone who is in the area? Should we fear it? The answer is, I know, Shades of the Ring vibes, right?
I was about to say, yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be chaos.
Yeah. Well, this is where we get to the folklore thing. This is where I want to end before we move on to the next story. As you know, the story goes that she was killed by a famous warrior, and then her body became the Sesoseki, or was entombed within that rock. Much later, a Buddhist priest by the name of Genno, G-E-N-N-O, stopped for a rest when he was walking around near the stone, got threatened by the ghost, like, you cannot touch the killing stone, and then performed a Buddhist exorcism ritual, a series of them, begging Tamamo to consider her salvation. She relented, and she swore that she would haunt the stone no more, or at least in some way, you know, class up her behavior. So if you are one who believes in spirits, in things of an invisible world, then hopefully what you can take from this story is that you don't have to worry about Tamamo. There are bigger things to worry about in the world. We're about to talk about two of them, but you don't have to worry about a vengeful ghost of a supernatural fox. So if you've got that on your list, go ahead and cross it off. Congratulations to everyone. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more strange news.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back with more strange news. I think we're all painfully aware the news cycle has been pretty well dominated by the conflict in Ukraine. Russian forces breached the border of that country and have now, I believe, successfully held at least one or two cities, quite a few casualties, a lot of information on social media. I saw a quite tragic, I think it was a TikTok video where it was a woman saying, "My life before the Russian invasion." And it was just the kind of thing you see people sharing on TikTok, like, you know, dance parties and karaoke and lunch with friends and sunshine and happiness. And then post Russian invasion, and it was, you know, bombed out shells of apartment buildings and, you know, troops marching in the square and things like that. So, I mean, this is a very real situation for the world, but most importantly, people that live in Ukraine. You've made the point, Ben, quite a few times that a lot of people before this news event, I'm not trying to diminish it by just describing it as a news event, but I mean, in terms of the way Western audiences have been exposed to it, it is kind of that, would have been hard pressed to point Ukraine out on a map. Now, there's a lot of cringy celebrity videos supporting Ukraine. There's a lot of potential for, you know, making it sort of a fashion statement to be pro-Ukraine and anti-Putin and all of that. But we're also starting to see some interesting things emerging, iconography specifically. So it looks like, as of maybe last week, there is a symbol that has emerged as a kind of dog whistle way of expressing support for the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and it is the letter Z. I was just made aware of this morning. Like you said, Ben, it hasn't really been covered a ton, and I think the reason for that is no one's quite sure where it comes from. I mean, the thing that initially hit me was, you know, the president of Ukraine has been kind of lionized in the Western media, particularly in social media, as this real hero because he stayed behind. He could have fled. He could have, you know, been airlifted to safety by allies, but he chose to stay. And he's been being very vocal about that and being on the front lines with his, you know, cabinet and the like. And so I thought maybe the Z was kind of like a almost an ironic, you know, way of mocking President Zelensky, being that his last name starts with a Z, because Russia uses the Cyrillic alphabet, and there is no Z in the Cyrillic alphabet. So that's interesting. And we're seeing this manifest itself. The thing that really like brought it into the forefront of the news was that a Russian gymnast really made some waves when he was competing in an international gymnastics competition. His name is Ivan Kuliak, and he is actually facing disciplinary actions from the governing body, the International Gymnastics Federation, or FIG, because of what he did. He won the bronze medal, and, you know, has medal ceremonies. You kind of stand on these tiered platforms, and the guy standing next to him, who I believe won the gold, was a Ukrainian gymnast. And, you know, this dude is very young. This is Ivan Kuliak. And you could see a very small letter Z, clearly made out of some kind of painter's tape, or, you know, I don't know if it's like with a paint pen or something, but it's on his chest, like almost like a, like blazoned, like a superhero logo. And that was his protest, I suppose, or that was his way of expressing his solidarity with the invading force of Russia. That is his home country. And to do that, you know, with a Ukrainian citizen next to him, obviously has some very problematic implications, especially in what's meant to be, you know, a sportsmanlike competition that shouldn't necessarily be politicized. But as we know throughout history, Ben, I know you can speak to this in terms of like when the Nazis were in power and the Olympics took place, you know, it was highly politicized. I believe, wasn't that right, Ben? Did the Olympics take place in Germany when the Nazis were in power, before we knew the extent of the Nazis' final solution?
Yeah, in 1936, the Nazis had the Olympics over in Berlin, and it was an awesome blow for
Jesse Owens,
for Americans. It was awesome blow for people of color, and it was a bad day for Hitler, which I'm a fan of that guy having bad
when you
days.
Say a blow, you mean a blow executed by, not towards, because an African-American beat the German, I believe it was in a foot race, a sprinting kind of situation, or a, you know, triathlon type event.
Yeah, Jesse Owens is the one people mention the most often because of that iconic moment. However, I do want to point out that at the 1936 Olympics, there were 18 black athletes who went to Berlin as part of the U.S. team. And this was, of course, during time of widespread codified racism against black people in the U.S. And they still made the decision to represent that country. So, yeah, there's I think what we're saying here is there is a lot of soft political power in the world of international sports, you know, like from the World Cup to the Olympics and what have you, probably even curling at some point. There's probably been a diplomatic fracas over curling, but
shout out to Max Williams, the curling expert in our bunch, producer of Ridiculous History.
And it goes beyond the gymnast, though. That's how I learned about this, but it also goes to one of my favorite former Russian spies. Rocking a Z. You saw that, right?
No, give it to me. There's a lot of like examples of this, and I have a few more, but please.
Yeah. Matt, you remember this person, Maria Butina, who was caught spying and doing some honeypot operations, frankly, for the Russian forces, is also repping the Z, which, as you said, Noel, does not exist in Cyrillic. I'm tempted to connect this with the earlier quite successful Russian psyop of QAnon, right? They said, hey, we did a letter last time and that worked. What are some other letters?
Ben, I appreciate you like just hardlining that perspective. I think maybe there are many that still don't believe that Russia was directly responsible for QAnon. And I think maybe the official line in the United States has not necessarily fully confirmed that yet. But I think you're absolutely right that that is almost certainly the case.
Well,
I blame Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah, they definitely fanned the flames. But, you know, just like a child, it takes a village to really do propaganda.
Well, speaking of children and propaganda, I think the most egregious example that I've seen, there have been a lot of highly produced videos coming out of Russian national television of, you know, troops, for example, standing in arrays, you know, where their bodies are forming a giant letter Z from like aerial photography. There was a particularly nasty image that that came out of a collection of armbands from fallen Ukrainian soldiers in the shape of a Z. But speaking of, again, children and propaganda, I think the saddest and most divisive example of this is there's an article from The Telegraph in the UK. This is the headline, speaks for itself. Russia's terminally ill children line up in letter Z symbol to show Kremlin support. Children don't necessarily have fully formed and informed political opinions. This is something that the administrators of this, it's a hospice. You know, these are terminally ill children with cancer, you know, who are going to die. And they are being made a symbol, literally. Literally, their bodies are being turned into a symbol of something that they really have no way of fully wrapping their heads around. And it's rough. The administrator of the facility had this to say. It's a guy named Vladimir Vavilov. He's the chairman of a cancer charity that runs this hospice in Kazan, which is in central Tatarstan region. And he had this to say, our patients and entire team took part in it, about 60 people in total. People lined up in the form of the letter Z. In our left hand, we held leaflets with the flags of the LPR, DPR, Russia, and Tatarstan, and we clenched our right hand into a fist.
Well, look. I'm not saying that's good. Again, it may not sound great to someone listening to this in the West who grew up in the West, who lives in a Western country. But when you think about all of the citizens that are being exposed to the national stance and the news coming out of Russia officially, perhaps you do agree, and perhaps rightly so, that Russia's actions are good. And on your behalf of all the people of Russia, this is what needs to be done. You may have that belief because that's what you're being told.
That's the information you're working with. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
100%. And 100%.
I'm not trying to be middle of the road completely here, moderate to our own fault, but you just have to imagine individual citizens like that. I don't think you can hold them necessarily accountable. Even that younger kid who was the gymnast, he's thrown a Z on his chest. We don't know exactly why. I don't know why, but he probably is trying to perhaps stand for whatever the official line is of his country.
Well, the rhetoric over here is the essentially, I mean, depending on what network you're watching for the most part, but even I think the more right-leaning networks are beginning to, you know, kind of dispense with some of this pro-Russia rhetoric. The whole evil empire idea is definitely kind of starting to make an appearance, at least in terms of the tone of the reporting. You know, you have President Biden saying things that are staunchly anti-Putin in terms of like what he is doing is evil. You know, what he is doing is against all of our morals and all of the agreements we've made in terms of like international peace, that he is flying in the face of all of that stuff. So it's you know, you're right. It is important, I think, to think about both sides and to think about how even the media that we're exposed to here to a degree, I mean, more than a degree, I think many degrees, is slanted and has a perspective. So you're right. You can't necessarily hold people accountable when they're trying to just have pride for their country.
I'm not trying to give a both sides argument because there are millions of people being displaced right now, you know, thousands of people dying. Right. And it's directly by the actions of the Russian military and those who are paid by them. You don't have to take a moral stance on that. That's just wrong. It's just,
well, it depends on their. It depends on if you agree with their justification for it, though, or not. You know,
not like, well, if civilians makes it a war crime is the issue. Yeah. But the
we kill civilians all the time. When I say we, I mean the United States kill civilians in collateral damage when we, you know, do drone attacks.
And I would argue that's a war crime. I'm not. I'm not an American exceptionalist in any regard. In that sense.
I would agree with you. Well, all I'm saying is that there are complicated caveats in any nationalistic or, you know, patriotic stance. But I think you can support your country while still speaking out against those very, very nasty and preventable civilian casualties.
Yeah, agreed. And that's the way it is. The people are not the government. No matter what the people in power could try to convince their population of. And I think we're making fantastic points. I did want to say, I know we got to move on, and maybe this is a full episode, but I did want to say, I don't know if you guys caught it, the Russian Ministry of Defense made a statement about this.
He sure did.
Very pointed. On Instagram.
Okay, well.
They explained that that Z meant, I believe, what translates to "for the victory."
Exactly. There's chance of Russian troops and Russian citizens waving their flags, chanting "for Russia, for the president, for Russia, for Putin." I saw a video, and then I'll wrap this up, where there was some conjecture that the Z also was a way of preventing friendly fire, because if I'm not mistaken, the models of the Russian and Ukrainian tanks are either identical or very similar.
Yep.
So if you have the Russian tanks marked with a big white Z, then it's easier to differentiate between the two. But you have people, you know, in Russia putting these on their cars, wearing them on their clothes. There's state sanctioned, you know, merch essentially being distributed with these Zs on them. And it is becoming kind of a thing. But the actual etymology of the Z, there's a word, Ben, I think the translation of which you just described, that phonetically would begin with a Z. And I'm sorry, I'm spacing on what the word is.
Zalpobedel. Right. Just like 50 Let Pobedy, the name of that awesome Russian icebreaker I want to take a trip on one day, actually means 50 years of victory. Not Pobedy, which sounds just weird in English.
But then opponents, of course, are drawing similarities to the Z and like the swastika, you know, and the irony there is that the big impetus, according to Putin, for invading Russia is to denazify their country. We did a two-part episode recently on this conflict and what we know now, and then including a thing about the, you know, the SWIFT, the banking system and all of that. But just to reiterate, you know, there are pro white supremacist Nazi leaning factions within the Ukrainian military, but there are within the U.S. military too, and within factions of folks that would consider themselves Americans and patriots. So it's hard to take it at face value that this is some sort of, like, you know, insidious threat that has to be dismantled instantly, or else it's going to cause some sort of seepage of this type of ideology into that part of the country. It just feels very disingenuous, especially given, like we talked about in the episode, that President Zelensky is himself Jewish and he has family that died in concentration camps, and also family that fought against the Nazis. So feels a little weird. And there are certain, you know, folks that are tweeting out graphics using the Z. If you take two Zs and superimpose them across each other, it looks like a swastika. So not saying that's the intent, but it does have eerie, especially when a new, you know, a symbol like this just kind of comes up, and then you have sort of like analogs from history. It's hard to ignore that. Not saying there's an alignment of ideology there at all, but it still is eerie. I think you're right, Ben. I think, you know, again, we don't know exactly what this is from. We have some ideas, but this is an ongoing thing, and we're going to keep an eye on it. In the meantime, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with one more piece of strange news.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing inventing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we're back. And rather than just reading this headline, we're going to let CBS Channel 4 out of Colorado give you the rundown.
A box of human heads intended for medical research has been stolen. Denver police are trying to find out who took them and why.
All right.
What's in the box?
True story. What's in the box? Oh, it's human heads.
Yeah.
It's not just Gwyneth Paltrow's head. It's many human heads.
Spoilers.
No, I didn't.
It's a spoiler.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
It was the Mandarin's head in the box the whole time.
Yeah.
Got you.
Matt, this is a story I think we saw. We saw pretty recently, and like I was saying at the top of today's show, so much stuff is fading from the news. Things that would be like would garner more national or even international attention if we weren't living in such troubled times. But what are the details in this? I don't want to make it awkward, but you were not involved, right?
Not this time. No.
Okay.
Well, here, really, that's all you need to know. That's the story. This is the segment. We can go ahead and end the show right now. Everybody needs to be aware that a box of human heads was stolen in the Central Park area of Denver.
Keep an eye out. Recovered. If you see it, if you run into it, call the authorities.
Yes, the authorities have asked for you to give them a call if you do, in fact, see the box of human heads.
So these are heads that were like donated to science. Like when you click that organ donor thing, it's usually just a catch all kind of that could include your whole head, right?
This is not organ donation. This is a whole different thing. Okay. This is donating your entire body to science. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. Well, I'll give you the details here from the Denver Post. You can find this by searching box of human, really just search box of heads and you'll find it. It's all over the place right now. But this one
is
titled
the movie. The eight heads in a duffel bag. It's the one that comes up after.
It's not the comic Basket Full of Heads by Joe Hill, which is a great read. It's something else. And Matt, I think the honor goes to you to describe
a little more about the legal standing of these heads.
If that's okay, yeah.
You must.
Okay, cool.
Tell us the rights of these heads.
Let's get ahead of this story.
Oh, God. Hold on one second. I'm just going to read a bit from the Denver Post. Everybody has the same info here. So this occurred sometime between 2:30 p.m. on Wednesday, the 2nd of March, and 9:30 a.m. the 3rd of March, which is a Thursday. The truck, according to the Denver Post, was parked in the 7700 block of East 23rd Avenue. It was a blue and white box with a label reading, quote, exempt human specimen. And somebody decided whatever's in that is mine now. They also stole a dolly that was on the truck because I guess it was heavy. The human head weighs 8 pounds. I heard that somewhere.
Yeah.
Here's the number to call if you do, in fact, find this box by the time you're listening to this. Maybe you're the one and you just happen to be listening to a podcast while you found a box of human heads. The number is 720-913-2000. That's the police number. So don't call that.
Unless you got eyes on the heads.
Correct. All right, now, so let's jump to the difference between donating your body for science and donating your organs. When you donate your body, you're not going to have your organs removed to be donated to an individual person who, let's say, needs a kidney or a liver or a heart or something like that. When you donate your body, you are specifically donating it for medical research and study for medical education. When you donate your body to science in this way, generally you're donating to a specific program within the state that you live in, if you live in the U.S. And some states have multiple ones. In Colorado, there is only one place you can really sign up with to donate your body to science, and it's with the University of Colorado. I'm just going to read from a quick study here titled Bodies for Anatomy Education in Medical Schools, an Overview of the Sources of Cadavers Worldwide. And here's the quote. Today, the most common sources to have a body for medical use like this are body donation programs like the ones we're talking about and unclaimed bodies. That is, bodies of individuals who die without relatives or friends to claim them for burial or without the means to afford burial.
This is John or Jane Doe's, correct?
Correct. John or Jane Doe's, or you specifically sign up to have your body donated to science. And you can go to IEDS.online and find each state's body donation program. In Colorado, it is the Colorado State Anatomical Board, which is in Aurora, Colorado. And if you go to their website, you can learn all about it. And you can sign up yourself, if you wish, to donate your body in this way.
So what does the exempt part mean on the label?
Exempt human remains?
Yeah. Well,
let's talk about it. What does it mean?
Yeah.
Just to throw this in to clarify, if you go to the post office, and I love learning unexpected things from strange, seemingly innocuous sources. If you go to the post office, you'll see that exempt human remains or exempt human specimen is something that falls under their policy regarding packaging instruction 6H, exempt human or animal specimens. It means roughly, I'm just quoting, so don't consider this research on my part. I'm quoting a website here. It means a human or animal sample, including but not limited to secreta, excreta, blood and its components, tissue and tissue fluids and body parts, transported for routine testing, not related to the diagnosis of an infectious disease.
Because those couldn't necessarily go through the mail, right? Anything that was some sort of biohazardous could not be shipped through these same means.
Well, they would be exempt to, you could ship some of those things though, conceivably. And you kind of have to when you're tackling large scale infections or outbreaks. It's just that stuff has to be shipped with policies that apply to hazmat, hazardous materials.
I see.
They got to be packaged differently. But this is just saying there's a very low probability that the sample is infectious. So for those people,
so maybe just some packing peanuts, you know, like some bubble wrap, not necessarily some sort of like ironclad containment system in these. I'm joking, but
so for those people who stole a box of heads, whether or not you knew that box indeed did contain heads, a little bit of silver lining for you, you're probably not going to get infected with some sort of plague. But still, you did something really messed up. And for those who believe in karma, it comes back around, man.
If you Matt, do we understand the intent behind this theft? Was it maybe like they didn't know what it was? They just thought it could have been something of value. Like, what do you do with these? Where do you fence stolen heads?
We have no information with regards to intent or who the person was. We know nothing about that right now. But we do know a little bit more about the donation process. I just want to go through that with you guys a little bit. The reason why it's called that, exempt remains and specifically that box with heads, is because when you donate your body, you have to meet certain criteria. And you can't have a lot of those things, the infectious things you're talking about there, Ben, like things that would be, if you open the box and, you know, there's a specimen in there that is HIV positive and there is blood involved or something like that. You can't have hepatitis B or C, COVID-19. Can't have COVID-19 if you are, at least at the time of death, when you're donating your body, HIV, AIDS, extremely high or low body mass index, all kinds of other things. Where you will not be able to donate your body to science in this way.
Maybe this is obvious to most people. I have a question. Like, when you die and you are infected with this, your blood remains infectious. Obviously, it's not like it all of a sudden just magically becomes inert.
I'm not a scientist or doctor. I don't know the answer to that. But
think of it in terms of time windows. Right. So you can find traces of an infection from, let's say, an ancient body, right, that had the plague in, you know,
there's like markers
900 AD or something. And a lot of context clues from, you know, if you participate in the art of grave robbing, which is now called archaeology. Kidding. Archaeologists, valuable science. I do think, you do have to be careful around this sort of stuff. Also, this inspires me to suggest that we do an episode on something related, which are body brokers in the U.S. The laws about who can and can't sell the dead and how they do it, they're shockingly open-minded. Let's put it that way.
Interesting.
As you were saying, Matt, the issue there is the infection, and people wouldn't know. Like most times, if you're taking a body part or a cadaver, unless you're an expert, you're not going to be able to immediately know whether they have some sort of contagion, right? Whether that could get to you. And even if you are an expert, you know you have to do several methodologically sound tests to figure that out. And until you do, better safe than sorry. It's best to err on the side of caution.
Agreed. Well, that's why body donation programs are all about the other side, the early stuff, signing up, registering yourself, and letting your loved ones know. If you head over to sciencecare.com, you can learn all about it. I'm just going to give you a couple quotes from here. If you've decided body donation to science is an option for you, we encourage you to join the Science Care online donor registry to express your intent to donate and let your loved ones know about your wishes. Here's the part that freaked me out, guys. There's a section below that that talks about if you or your loved one has been diagnosed as terminally ill or is in hospice care, you can call us to fill out the pre-enrollment form and begin the screening. And so, like, you can sign a loved one up if you've got, you know, if you've got the proper, I suppose, power of attorney, or I don't know exactly how it works in this situation, but you can sign your loved one up to donate their entire body to science.
It's sort of like what they call a pre-need in funereal circles, where you fill out, you know, all of the things that you want for your funeral in advance of actually expiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is an extensive screening process that occurs after the wish to have a body donated occurs, right? So someone wants to do it, they register, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff that has to happen. And remember, all of these bodies will be used by students during a semester of medical school. That's what this is for, generally, with one of these official programs.
Also, I know I keep interrupting here, but also these bodies sometimes get blown up in military testing. Just be aware.
If you, yeah, depending on what it's donated to, at least in my knowledge.
You said in Colorado, there's limited options, but in other states, there might be ones with more of a military flavor or like more of like a specific discipline of science.
Yeah, I haven't looked through all of them. Like it, just for instance, Georgia, you can donate to Mercer, the Medical College of Georgia, Georgia campus of the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, and Emory. So you can...
There you go.
Oh, and Morehouse. Morehouse School of Medicine also.
Yeah, osteopathic would be more specifically regarding the bones, whereas Medical College of Georgia could be any number of things, as could Mercer.
Yeah, often the one I mentioned in Colorado, you're dealing with full body. They're generally performing full autopsies.
I see.
And that's one of the reasons that you can't then, like if you donate your body to medical school, you can't, or for science in this way, you can't also donate your kidney because it's required for the students to learn, like, where is the kidney, how it connects to all the other body parts. One piece of your body you can give away in a separate transaction if you donate your body to science is your corneas.
I was about to say, yeah, yep.
But you can't do it. You can't do it voluntarily to a stranger. I can tell you from personal experience, it should be totally legal. Whatever. The laws are never
perfect. Well, so should assisted suicide. I mean, you know.
Laws are never perfect, but they are always an opportunity to progress. But yeah.
Agreed.
I think this is a full episode. I think we call it Body Broker.
Okay. Well, that's the end of that segment. Do you have strange news going on that you want to tell us about? Do you have any ideas for something we should be covering on one of these episodes? Why not reach out to us? You can find us on social media. We're all over the place on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. We are Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
If you don't wish to sip the social meds, as Ben would say, why not give us a telephone call at 1-833-STDWYTK. You've got 3 minutes. Tell us your tale. Give yourself a cool nickname. And let us know if it's okay to use your vocal likeness on the air. And you may hear yourself in one of our weekly listener mail episodes. And if you don't want to do any of that, you can always just reach out to us via a good old-fashioned email where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.